Morning. First off, I'd like to apologize to everybody as it appears that I've gotten the announcements wrong 3 weeks in a row now. As you know, I was supposed to announce the end of Sunday school for the summer last week. Sunday school will resume again in September. I would encourage everyone to speak up and correct me if I announce the wrong information. Unfortunately, you have to put up with me for another 6 months or so. Loretta has been moved from the Red Deer Hospital to the Rimby Hospital. They'll be assessing her needs before maybe getting her moved into long-term care. This coming week, we have Bible study, 7 o'clock here at the church, next Sunday morning. Service is 11, followed by communion, potluck, and weather permitting, the Sunday school picnic. Are there any other announcements, corrections, or prayer requests? Order of service today. Miles will be doing the scripture reading from Psalm 119, 97 to 104. And Tom will open in prayer and then bring the message from the book of Proverbs. Chapter 3, we'll begin with 419.
The psalm reading is Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
Close to thy heart, Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you in a season of summer where things are sunny and rainy and where things are growing, where vacations are planned and where travel begins and where there's tends to be more rest for some and more work for others. And Father, we ask that you would be with them all in our travels as the Bride of Christ goes throughout the country to visit, to build relationships, to rekindle relationships, and to, at the same time, preach your word through that Spirit that guides and directs. As we move through wherever you have us going, we ask that you would continue to be with us. Get us there safely and get us home safely. As your word says, you are the author and finisher of our faith. You know the beginning from the end. And we thank you that you do. We ask that through the travels of summer and through the relationships, and through whatever we come upon, that we would be the ambassador, the bride, the light of Christ, so that all can be drawn to the sheepfold. Father, we thank you for this church in Sylvan Lake. We thank you for the bride here. And we ask you to pay special attention to the youth as they break for a season from Sunday school and they do the things that kids do in summer, have a lot of fun and enjoy life. And Father, we ask that you would put on their hearts the desire to read your word and to glean from it what is necessary for this season. Put in their hearts the desire to learn more from you and glean wisdom and knowledge and truth so that they can be ambassadors one day in your kingdom on this earth. So they can be the leaders of the future Bride of Christ. They can direct people so that more of your called ones come to the faith. And it goes on and on. And Father, we ask that you would especially do a special blessing for the children as summer comes. And just be with them as they have fun and walk in your ways. Father, we thank you for all the ones that attend here and come and are able to come, and we ask that you would continue to be with them through this hour of worship, and we ask that you would be with the ones that can't attend because of either ailment or circumstances, or it could be a lot of things. We ask that you would be with them strong and powerful and be the God that leads them into the confidence that you have. And Father, we thank you for the gifts of the congregation, the gifts of the bride, and the most important gift that you gave them and give us is the Holy Spirit that guides and directs, and we thank you for that. And Father, we also thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Yeah.
the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be granted unto you on this day and hour of worship. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And I'm not going to read the chapter. I'm just going to go verse by verse. And some verses I'm just going to comment on. Some we'll do some references on. So with the hope and promise that the word does not return void, but hits the heart. And it hits the heart and hits the target of the heart. So the heart can be changed according to what the scripture says. It is interesting when we look at scripture, and if you're ever wondering how, well, myself picks a sermon, chooses a sermon, it's not complicated. It's just whatever comes to you during that week, or maybe 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And you basically try to get the point of the text across so that the biggest point of that theme of that text comes across. When we look at Proverbs, the biggest point in Proverbs, or the book of Proverbs, is wisdom. If you look at the first chapter, it's talking about wisdom from the seventh verse on. Listen to wisdom until basically the end of the chapter. Chapter 2, the benefits of wisdom. And when they talk about wisdom, it's not earthly wisdom or wisdom of the flesh. It's godly wisdom. Chapter 3, it talks about using wisdom, and it's a letter to the son. Chapter 4 is cherish wisdom. Chapter 5, it goes into avoiding disaster, avoiding adultery. 6, advice for avoiding the adulterous woman. And 7, then it goes back to wisdom in 8. So we have in here the word wisdom as much of what the Proverbs is about. Godly wisdom. The only wisdom that comes from above. Not the wisdom that Eve had in the garden when she was tempted by the serpent. Because if she had godly wisdom, she would have said, no, God has said, do not take of that tree. But for some reason, she was influenced by the serpent, which said, did God actually say that? And her heart changed in a way that said, oh, maybe he didn't. Doubting the promises of God, that God said, do not take of that tree. So it's trying to glean at a young age wisdom, and that's why one of the things that I tend to say is if you're between 5 and up, you really should be reading the Proverbs every day, one proverb per day. There's 31 in the book. So that, and you do that the rest of your life. If you know how to read at 5, then that's when you start. And you might not get a lot at first, but you'll retain the knowledge and the wisdom that God has for you. And it will influence you to make godly choices throughout your life. I wish I would have read this book at a young age. And I didn't. But I look at it as a very constant book of knowledge and wisdom and truth. That just keeps you anchored to the shepherd of your soul. So it says here, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's interesting how it says, let thine heart keep my commandments. How do we hold the law in our heart? Well, what does Romans say in chapter 2, verses 14 to 16? Speaking of the Gentiles, which we are. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing and excusing one another. it's saying that the law of God is written on every man's heart. We know right and wrong. Our consciences bear witness of what's right and wrong. But we question that, as the end of that sentence says. We question that, and we are influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we make improper choices. And we're not on the foundation of wisdom. In Proverbs 9:10, what does it say? It says, I'll read 9 first. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And then it's 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So now you have to ask yourself, what is the fear of the Lord? And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Understanding who God is, understanding who the Son is, and understanding who the Holy Spirit is. There's a process of that through that Holy Spirit that we have that indwells in our lives. So Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In the New Testament, it says, if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally. And wisdom is a female in Proverbs. It always refers to her as wisdom, the nurturing side. So we have now the question of fear of God. The fear. What is the fear? How do you fear God? Proverbs 8:13, what does it say? And Proverbs is instructional in many ways. It says, the fear of the Lord is to what? I'll start at 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches of righteousness. My fruit is better than, and it goes on and on. When we look at that, it's telling us a little bit about what wisdom is and what fear is. What you should like and what you should dislike. In chapter 6, it talks about a naughty person with the 12th verse. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. What is a froward mouth? It's somebody that you've maybe went to and you've talked to them and you've said something because you wanted to kind of influence them in a positive way or in a godly way through wisdom. And they said, I don't want to hear that. And they walk away. They end the conversation. They don't want to deal with it. That's something that is kind of a forward mouth. They don't want to basically hear what you have to say. He winketh with his eyes, and he speaketh with his feet, and he teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in the heart, the old heart. He divideth mischief continually and soweth discord within the brethren. It's basically not here, but it says that in other scripture verses. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Then it says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So what is happening here? The fear of the Lord is this. Do you love the things that God loves, and do you hate the things that God hates? That's the fear of the Lord. Eve, for some reason, didn't have that fear, so she chose to do what the serpent wanted. She didn't have the wisdom from above. That's the foundation of wisdom. Application of wisdom comes in the future, in this text. It says, let's start with this. Let us not, for the length of days and long life and peace shall be, they'll add to you, if you do not forget my law and you let thine heart keep my commandments. What are the commandments? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the Ten Commandments. How do you do that? With the Holy Spirit's guide. You will have a long life, lengthy days, peace. What does that mean? It means your life is full. In the 24 hours, you have joy, peace, mercy, compassion, because you have the Holy Ghost. It's full. You live life in a way that is, you go in and out and find green pasture, and it's bountiful. And then verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about their neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Moses came to bring the law, and what did Christ come? John, 1 John 1:17, I believe it is. Or the Gospel of John, sorry, 1:17. I'm right there. For the law was given by Moses. The Ten Commandment law was given by Moses. But grace, mercy, compassion, favor came by Jesus Christ. So when we're looking, what lens are we looking at this proverb through? The lens of grace and mercy. The lens of Jesus Christ. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor or grace and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do you have faith and trust in the triune God, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Not in your understanding, but in His. Through His understanding, you'll glean wisdom. Proverbs 28:26 says this, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Now, saying the word "fool" in the Bible, it was probably the worst swear word you could say. Calling somebody a fool, it's not a compliment. It's the gravest insult you could give them. So, you have favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man because you have the ability, you have the lens of compassion, mercy, and truth through that Christ, basically the lens of Christ. Trust in the Lord and all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Proverbs, and then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That Holy Spirit, acknowledge that that Spirit is in you because you've been born from above and you've been regenerated and you have a new heart and a renewed mind through the power of that Holy Ghost. So it says you're acknowledging who gave that to you. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Psalm 97 says, in verse 10, 11, and 12, it says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteousness and the gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks and the remembrance of his holiness. The righteousness that was imputed to you through the work of the cross. You are righteous because of what that work accomplished. You are thankful because you didn't deserve it. And you are faithful because you've received it through that Holy Spirit. You're not wise in your own, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So when he uses the word fear, it's through the lens of Christ, through the favor of Christ, through the grace of Christ, and through the mercy of Christ. Christ didn't have to save you. He didn't have to save any of us. He did out of love and compassion and out of grace. So be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be a health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. How does the application of wisdom start? Well, it starts in that first verse, that third verse, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledging him. That's where you will find the application. And the character of wisdom is in James. Chapter 3. Verse 17. But the wisdom is that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, not a lover of persons, not a respecter of persons, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. That's how you can tell the wisdom from above. Do not take of that tree. Because if you do, you shall surely die. That wasn't listened to. And when it talks about honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of thy increase, it's saying what you have is his. Everything you own is his. Everything you gain is his. Everything you lose, he allows to happen. So you still have exactly what you need. If you've lost something, you still have him. If you've gained something, it's still his. Whether you lose or gain, it's all the Lord's. And it's important to recognize that, because then you know that you are a son of God and a daughter of Christ, because you recognize that my Father owns all these things and I am a steward of it. And how do I steward those things? I do everything unto the Lord, because that's the direction he's given us. And then it goes into, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. If he's chastening you, like it says in Hebrews, it's because he loves you. If there's no chastening, there's probably a problem. There has to be chastening. There has to be a love factor, which is the chastening of the Lord. It's because he loves you and he wants you to go in the right path, make the right choices, and being influenced by God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the bride of Christ. He wants the influence to come from there, not the world, the flesh, and the devil. So he's going to steer you clear of that and give you lots of wisdom and to make what wise choices through the Word of God and through the people of God. So when he's chasing you, it says, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father the Son, in whom he delighteth. The person that doesn't have wisdom, godly wisdom, does not like to be corrected. Does not like to be influenced in that way. I know how to do this. I can do this myself. I can take care of this. I can pull up my own bootstraps. I can do all these things. That type of person is self-sufficient within themselves. They have not, and the theme of this chapter is verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. Lowly, broken, and contrite. So if there's a tendency in your heart to not receive instruction or constructive criticism, if you have a problem with that, check yourself. You're leaning towards the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you enjoy correction and constructive criticism, because somebody is actually there, they're not doing it there to beat you down, they're doing their best to help you, you will, I never thought of that, or I should try doing it that way. The reason why I'm affirming is I'm not the type of person that enjoys constructive criticism or instruction. And where does that come from? Where does that stem from? Pride. I can take care of this myself. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Why is he happy? Because his choices are influenced not by the world, the flesh, and the devil, but by God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the bride of Christ. Because that influence, the new man, is stronger than the old man. So the decisions and choices being made is being influenced by that. So the choices you make and the decisions you make will, some of them will be difficult, but they're meant to be difficult so that you can grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If everything was easy, then the tendency is, well, I've done this before. It was easy, so I'll go the easy road, which is not the way we want to go. And then it talks about wisdom being for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof of fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. If you're being influenced by wisdom, if you're being influenced by God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the bride of Christ, your days will be rich and full and peaceful and busy. And at the same time, you're at rest because it is finished. And you have been justified and you have been saved and you are being sanctified, which means set apart from the world, the flesh, the devil, to be the light in this world. Because that's what the Father does to his children, to his sons and daughters in Christ. He sets them apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil to show the light of Christ to the ones that don't see the light. Her ways are pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So if you're questioning a path, I'm not so sure. Maybe look to see, what does that look like 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now? Right? Like the prodigal son that looked, like the father that looked afar off to see his son and ran to his son. He hadn't seen in how many months. He's seeing afar off, I'm going to hug and kiss my son, and I'm going to run to him because I miss him. Are you looking afar off? If I make this choice right now, is it going to glorify God? Is it going to glorify my family? Is it going to glorify the bride of Christ by making this decision? Or is it going to harm any one of those three? Maybe I should take a second look. Maybe I should pause and before I make that decision. And that's what wisdom tells us to do. When we're young, we just go. But wisdom doesn't tell us to do that. Pause and look afar off to see what it looks like. See the end. What does that bring me? If I take of the tree, I shall surely die. That wasn't thought of. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The wisdom of God. And then it goes into how God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, by wisdom, the Lord founded the earth, understanding. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep your sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto the soul and grace unto the neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and the foot shall not stumble. You have confidence in the potter to mold the clay vessel according to his will and way. You'll be safe and your foot will not stumble because it's the potter that's guiding, the potter that's directing, the potter that's building, the potter that's sanctifying you and making you more like Christ every day. When thou liest down, thou shalt be not afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You are at rest. Rest that it is finished. The job is done. Christ fulfilled it all. And are you at rest with your life? Whatever comes to pass, you can't see. Whatever is behind, you don't look back. But are you in the present? Whatever comes to pass now, who's directing it, who's guiding it, who's ordaining it, who's calling it to happen? It's that Holy Ghost that dwells through that potter that molds. Are you not able to sleep at night because you're worrying about this or concerned about that? And have you not just said, Lord, I need to get some sleep. Can you help me here? Because I'm thinking about these things. No thought for tomorrow. Do you have raiment? Do you have food? No thought for tomorrow. No worries about tomorrow. Because you're at peace with God. You're a son and daughter in Christ. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Isn't that the way it's worded? It's beautiful. Sudden fear. Not, oh, that tornado looks like it's about 10 miles from here. You're probably not too worried. Sudden fear happens right away. A thought comes to you. It captures you. That's not going to work out because you made this choice. So you go down that path and God's saying, you are mine. Your life is hid with me. I will keep you. The choice doesn't really matter because you are kept by the love of God, by the powers of Him unto salvation. Sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to them for, to whom it is due when it is in the power to hand, of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. This is talking about if you have a need, if somebody has a need and you have the means, do you fill it? You fill that need because you have the means. The 27th verse of chapter 28 of Proverbs says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, the bride of Christ. James 2:15 and 16. If thy brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Because you have the faith of Christ, you will do good works. You will have a gracious heart, compassionate heart, a merciful heart, a favorable heart to the poor. Because you can put yourself in their situation. Even if you've never been poor, you still can put yourself there. When you were broken, lowly, and contrite, and God took over. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Help your neighbor. Strive not with a man without a cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. It's going again back to the forward. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. If you walk away from somebody because you don't like what they're saying to you when they're just trying to help you, and you walk away, just step back, because that's not the way to end a conversation, is walk away. It's better to just listen. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but the blessed, the habitation of the just. God is just, and God is love. and they're both eternal. Not one is more important to the other than with God. And then the theme of this whole chapter to me is, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. That's where it begins. You were broken, lowly, and contrite. Grace entered your heart. And by hearing the word, faith began. And you recognize that it is finished through the work of the cross. And you're being sanctified, set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, to be in his kingdom and to be the light of the world. They give grace to the lowly. And it says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be of the promotion of fools. Shame shall be the promotion of fools. Hopefully we never promote shame. There's nothing wrong with being ashamed because we make mistakes. It's when we don't blush and we're not ashamed. Pride starts taking over. But the wise shall inherit glory, the glory of God. We can be thankful that we have wisdom from above instead of wisdom that's from below. We should be thankful that God has benefited us through the gift of grace, through the gift of faith, through the gift of his mercy and his love. We should be thankful that we can actually understand somebody that doesn't have wisdom and pray for them and have compassion for them and love them. Because at one time and one point in our life, we didn't have wisdom. And in the future, there'll be a decision you make. You're going to make it without the wisdom of God. And it's going to cause pain to that other person and to yourself. But at the end of the day, we are his. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We are part of the bride of Christ. The work is finished. We are at peace with God. We've been justified by the work of the cross. And we sleep easy because we're at rest. And it's thanks to wisdom, the wisdom from above, who has allowed us to not fear God inaccurately, but to fear him with a reverent fear, to love the things that he loves, to despise the things that he despises, and to grow in grace in the knowledge of him who has sent us into the world, not to be part of the world, but to draw them in to the sheepfold through grace. In Jesus' name, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chapter 3 of Proverbs, and help us, Father, just be able to apply it through that Holy Spirit and guide us in every direction that brings peace and love and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the upcoming week, knowing that you will guide us, understanding that you will direct our paths, and you knowing that we will fail you. But you still love us, because we are yours eternally. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 329.